Amen. Amen. Thank you, McGahees. Advent is a wonderful time. I'm a little hot. Could you, like, bring the volume down just a hair? And I don't mean temperature-wise. I mean, I was born this way, but that's a whole nother story. That's what I told my wife when she met me. But this Advent season is awesome. If you haven't had the opportunity yet, what you got? Yes, I know. We're gonna do Grace Kids in just one second. If you haven't had the opportunity, pick up one of our Advent reading booklets that we printed for you. It's a great opportunity as a family to gather around the table. I know eating dinners together is kind of strange, especially when you get teenagers. It's hard because everybody's going their own directions, but this is an amazing opportunity to just pick up one of the little readings that are on the back table as you go out and to just have a meal together. It's not too late. Yes, we just lit the third candle, and yes, we're into the third week of Advent, but you can pick up on the third week and then just read through. It's an amazing little thing that we've put together to kind of help families. So at this time, with families in mind, we're going to release our Grace Kids. If you are in Grace Kids, that's our elementary age program, we'd love for you guys to head out, because you guys, I know, don't want to listen to me, because I will definitely bore you to death, won't I? Yes. Hey, easy now. Wow, that's like painful. Let's clap for our kids as they go out. Let them know how much we love them. Awesome. Well, as I told you guys, Pastor Terry called me last night and said, hey, you might need to go. And so just be ready. We're going to talk about joy. And I said, not a problem. And so I've been thinking, and then got the phone call this morning. Let me tell you something. This is bigger than any one person, okay, because God is huge. Last time Pastor Terry called me and said, hey, I'm not feeling well. I don't know that I'm going to make it. I always pray, God, what is it you want to say to your people? And here's what's amazing. You ready for this? That Sunday morning, Terry called me and said, hey, I'm up, I'm good, don't worry about it. I was like, great, not a problem. Came and listened and preached, and he preached like the exact same message that I would have preached that morning. Like same scripture verses, same idea. He and I hadn't even talked about it. It was like weird. I was sitting there going, God's huge. God is bigger than any one person. And that's what I love, is that this church is not just about one person. It's about the person being Jesus Christ. And so we come to celebrate him at Advent. And so this morning we're going to talk about joy. But can I just be honest with you? Christmas is supposed to be, you know, they say 'tis the season. Tis the season for what? Stress, headaches, traffic, financial despair, sadness, depression, family fights. Have I missed anything yet? Okay, good. And maybe I have, but it's not necessarily the season sometimes that is fun, is it? Sometimes it's stressful. I'll never forget when our girls were little, we thought for the first Christmas we would go see one set of parents for Christmas morning and then go and check the other set of parents out for Christmas night, and we rode ourselves ragged. And I thought after that, Jennifer and I sat down and said, look, here's the deal. From now on, if parents want to see us, they're going to come see us at Christmas. And I realized that, you know what, seasons change. I realized this year that, you know, I'm not going to get to see my mom for Christmas. And yeah, we haven't seen each other but every other Christmas, because that's how things work. But usually we see each other, and seasons change, don't they? We grow up and our kids grow up and things change. People pass away. And sometimes Christmas isn't exactly the most joyous of seasons. But how do we find this joy? How do we experience joy in the midst of a season that we're supposed to be jolly, because that's what the music tells us to be, right? You know, we hear the Christmas carols, we hear all the stuff, and it says, hey, be joyous, be jolly. This is the time that Jesus was born. How are we supposed to feel joyful when deep down we're hurting? Or when life is chaotic? Because I don't think this is just a message for this season. I think this is a message for all of life. How do you find joy in the midst of chaos, in the midst of some of your darkest days, when you didn't get the good news, or you got some news that you weren't quite expecting, or things don't look the way they should? How do you get joy? If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 2. I want to look at a very famous Christmas passage, since it is the Christmas season, and I want us to look at the story of the three wise men. Or growing up, I used to call these the three wise guys. Sometimes they might have been the three stooges. Who knows? They were just listed in the Bible as the three wise men. But in Matthew chapter 2, it gives us the story of these three kings who basically come on a long journey from somewhere around Iraq, Iran, Yemen, kind of in that area of the Middle East, coming down into Israel and into Judea and into Bethlehem. And it says this beginning with verse 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who is born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." Now let me just paint this picture for you. They didn't have mass transit systems. They didn't just go to the Yemen airport and get on a plane and within an hour and a half were in Jerusalem. Okay, these guys had to have been traveling by donkey and by camel for a while, probably more like camel because they were kings, okay? And they didn't come just by themselves. They came with all of their royalty and all of their pomp and circumstance and all of their servants and all of their stuff traveled with them because the people back then were nomadics, okay? They were nomads. They traveled with all of their tents and belongings with them. So these guys have been traveling for a while. I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like that at Christmas, don't you? I feel like my days have gotten a whole lot longer. They've gotten a whole lot more busy. They've gotten a whole lot more whatever. These kings, these wise guys knew what we felt. They've been there. So it goes on and it says this. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. Now listen, anytime there's a secret meeting, sometimes it's not good. And sometimes it has nothing to do with you. You ever get paranoid about that sometimes? You see people gathered together in a corner and you're like, oh my gosh, they're talking about me. Listen, my wife tells me this all the time, Ryan, it's not all about you. Pops in my bubble, I don't quite understand what she means by that because I thought everybody was about me, right? I mean, but I've been in those situations where you hear of a meeting that went on and you're like, oh my gosh, and then you start to get paranoid and then you start sweating profusely in places and you're wishing you had an undershirt or maybe put on some more deodorant and then life just gets crazy. Sometimes it's like that in our families, isn't it? Man, I don't want to go over to so-and-so's house, or I don't want to be around these people because I don't like them, but I have to. Why? Because they're family. Yes, I know. You don't necessarily have to like them, but you do have to love them. There's a difference in those two things. You realize that, right? You do have to sit across from them at the dinner table and play nice. You know, because why? You're doing that for your mom or your dad or your grandma who's still alive because you know if not, she's going to throw something at you, okay? Listen, sometimes it's not all about us. But again, how do we find joy in the midst of a season that is chaotic at best? I mean, Christmas has gone completely consumer. I'll never forget being a little kid, and students, you don't know this, okay? Because you never experienced the joy of going to the mailbox and getting the JCPenney wish catalog. Okay? Y'all know what I'm talking about. See, all of the older people in here, everybody kind of my age is going, I remember that. Dude, it was like this thick. I mean, and the whole thing, mom and dad, they'd be like, so what do you want for Christmas? I'd walk in and just lay it in their lap. They're like, you want it all? Yes. I'm dog-earing pages, like bending them over, and I'd be like, but wait a minute, I want something on the back page too, so you bend it over the other way as well, you know, going, I want something on the front and on the back, okay? I mean, Christmas has gotten all about the gifts, hasn't it? It's all about what am I going to get for Christmas? And I was talking with Miss Wright this morning, and it was kind of interesting, because I think there's a shift that happens at some point in life, and I'm not sure where it happens, that it stops being about the getting and it begins to be about the giving. And I'm not sure where that transition happens. Parenthood, probably. When you have kids of your own and realize I can't afford to get anything for me. Dumb kids, would you guys hurry up and grow and go away so I can start getting gifts again? Golly. Yeah, exactly. But you know, it's it's always been about this, what am I going to get? And it's about the gifts under the tree, and it's about the places that we go and the memories that we make. And so Christmas is an amazing time. And so King Herod, he goes on and he says this, and he sent them to Bethlehem saying, go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. The Christmas season is crazy. And this time of year, it's supposed to be the most joyous time of the year, but for some of us, it can be the saddest time of the year. Because it's the first time without a loved one. It's the first time where we have a holiday and we're missing somebody at the table. Or the first time that we're not going to go to so-and-so's house because so-and-so isn't here anymore. Or instead of going to their house, we're going to the hospital. Or they've moved away. And things just aren't the way they used to be. And that's not comfortable. I guarantee you these wise men weren't very comfortable in their day either. Even though they traveled with all of their stuff, they weren't at home. They weren't comfortable in their surroundings. Could you imagine being in front of a king who's like, hey, yeah, I'm going to have a secret meeting. We're going to find this stuff out. And then he comes to him and says, hey, listen, when you find him, come back and tell me so I can go worship him. Yeah, King Herod saw Jesus as a threat. I don't know if you know that or not, but the story goes on and it says that King Herod actually issued a decree to kill all the babies that were 3 and younger, hoping that he was going to get the Messiah at some point. I mean, this was a king of jealousy. And these wise men had a plan. So my question is, how do we experience joy in the midst of this season? I think it's a matter of perspective. I think we have to gain some perspective on life. And I think the wise men can help us with this. I think they're pretty wise in this regard because it's funny how perspective helps, isn't it? When you're in the middle of something, you can never quite see what the right thing to do is. But you know what they say, hindsight is what? 20/20. What does that mean? It means that, listen, when I'm away from it all, man, I can definitely see what I should have done and shouldn't have done. When I get back from the situation, I can say, man, probably shouldn't have said that. Probably shouldn't have gone here. Probably shouldn't have done that. But in the middle of it, it's hard. So we need to gain some perspective. They went through their journey with one purpose. And their purpose was this, to worship the King of Kings. To worship the Messiah. Now let me give you a little background, okay? The wise men, we don't know their names. We don't know where they came from. We just know that they were wise men. They were, or the three kings. Okay, but they were from that area that I was telling you, Iran, Iraq, Yemen, kind of that area where they would have heard about the Jewish religions and customs because there was a guy that lived in their time back in the day named Daniel, who wrote some prophecies about the Messiah, who God had given him some words, and Daniel was the wisest man in the kingdom of Babylon at the day. And he served and he lived and he taught. And these wise men were astrologers or astronomers, and they looked at the stars, and so they knew what signs to look for because that's what they did. They were scientists of the day. So they had heard about this Messiah. They knew what he meant. They knew what his coming meant. And so these guys came to worship one purpose. And I think so many times we get mixed up because I think our purpose is to make money, or our purpose is to make our family happier, or our purpose is to get this or to get that. And when we get that thing, life will be so much easier. And yet when we get it, life isn't easier, is it? Because we got to move on to the next thing. It's the law of diminish and returns. Listen, I'd love that gigantic Big Mac, okay, because I like Big Mac sauce. Did you know they made a bigger one, like the Mega Mac or whatever it is? I mean, dude, seriously, 3 patties? Heck yes. But let me just tell you, after like bite 3, I'd be like done. I'm like, you know, you take the, have you ever ordered something because you see the picture on the menu and you're like, oh, that looks good. And so you order it and then it gets there and you're like, doesn't look anything like the picture. Have you ever noticed that? Nothing ever looks like the picture. And then you taste it and you're like, it's okay. It's not the best. I don't know that I would order it ever again. Have you ever felt that way or thought that, okay? So we sometimes go through life with this purpose and we're on the wrong purpose. Pastor Terry has said this before, and so have I, that sometimes we live life climbing the ladder. When we get to the top, we realize our ladder's against the wrong wall. Been there, done that. Listen, setting up Christmas lights this year, sometimes you set the ladder up and you're thinking, dude, I got this. Next thing you know, you find yourself hanging from a tree branch and no ladder underneath you. Yeah, it's like Christmas vacation all over again, okay? You're like, seriously, this could be scary, okay? We've got to have a purpose in life. The wise men had a purpose. Their purpose was to worship. What is your purpose this season? What is it that is driving you this season? Why are you doing what you're doing this Christmas? Are you driven to find that perfect gift for that certain person? Are you driven to make that family memory that you've always wanted to make? What was it that you are being driven by? In the midst of everything these wise men were going through, can I tell you what word came up a lot in their readings and what the Bible says? Listen to this. You ready? If you go on and read. After listening to the king in verse 9, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose. So we're talking a while, okay? We're not talking like it just came up last night and bam, there's a new star. It had obviously been there for a while, okay? That they had seen when it rose before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Or one translation says they were overjoyed. I just got to be honest with you, I'm overwhelmed. Forget overjoyed. If I could just get a little bit of joy, I'd be okay. I don't have to be overjoyed, but I'm overwhelmed. I don't think that's the way God means it for it to be. And I don't just mean at Christmas. I mean at every single day of our lives. How do we experience this overjoyed feeling? How do we get this? We have to have the same perspective that the wise men had. And it's simple. Jesus is first. Jesus has to be the first and foremost. We're going to spell joy in case you're curious. Some of you are like, yeah, this is real original, Pastor Ryan. I know. I stole it from somebody who stole it from somebody who stole it from somebody, okay? Jesus is first. J. The wise men came to worship Christ. They wanted to find this child. They wanted to honor him. They wanted to pay their respects to Jesus. They wanted to make much of him. Too many times I want to make much of me. I want the people to recognize the hard work that I put in. I want people to say, wow, you did a great job at fill in the blank. You're the best at whatever. I want that MVP trophy. I want somebody to take a picture of me and put me on a baseball card. Yeah, that never happened, okay? Gave up on sports a long time ago. 3 broken bones in 3 different sports in 3 consecutive years. Done with athletics, okay? I talked with a friend of mine who did that whole Spartan race thing yesterday. Like, insane. And I was, like, talking with him, and he's like, dude, you should come and do it. Yeah, no. Envisions of full body casts of me in traction. I'm just like, he's like, you should do it with me next year. I'm like, yeah, if you want me to do it, it's going to be at least a year and a half of training just to get this physique into any kind of shape to run anything more than from the couch to the bathroom or from the couch to the refrigerator, okay? That's about the distance I got, okay? I mean, ask the guys who work on the chain gang with me. I'm not going to run up and down the sidelines. Just not. Not going to do it, okay? I can't keep up with those guys. I can barely keep up with the refs who are out there trying to keep up with those guys, okay? But listen, they wanted to make much of Jesus. He was their reason for their long journey. He was the reason that their many troubles and their heartaches were there. Jesus was the desire of their worship. What's the desire of your worship? Jesus was the reason for their joy. What's the reason for your joy? Can I tell you something that's contagious? And I'm not talking about a cold. A smile. It's funny how many students I see walking up and down the hall as a school teacher, and I stand out there between classes, and I give a smile, and I throw my hand up like this, and how many of them give me a high five and a smile back? Watching that kid walk down the hall to me, they looked like they were carrying the weight of the world on them. And then when they got to jump a little bit to get past that 6'2 frame and get up there to get it, and they do, and they got this big smile on their face, and I'm like, dude, I hope you have a great day today. They're just like, thank you, Mr. Raymond. When are you going to dye your hair blue again? I'm like, yeah, never. You know, whew, it's, yeah, no, not anytime soon, okay? So, listen, a smile is contagious. But when we will put Jesus first in our lives, when he's our first priority, he is the reason for our joy. But the second perspective, the second thing they had was this. It wasn't just Jesus, it was others. So you have a J and you have an O. I bet you can't guess what comes after this. It's got to be a Y. Exactly right. So we're going to get to that, okay? So you got Jesus, you got others. They were focused on others. Their eyes weren't on themselves. They weren't about what they could get. They didn't come to King Herod saying, hey, we're royalty. Why didn't you throw out the red carpet for us? Hey, are you going to throw a feast in our honor? Are you going to give us a ball or do whatever for us? Are you going to invite us to the Christmas celebration? Our invitation probably got lost in the mail. I mean, I know that's probably what happened, King Herod, but hey, I want you to know we showed up anyways because that's how important we are. No, these wise guys came. The wise men showed up because they were Jesus first, wanting to worship him, and they were all about others. They were focused on what they could give, not what they could get. Look at verse 11. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. The wise men brought gifts. Now, those gifts were pretty significant, okay? The gold, and I used to just think, yeah, it's gold, frankincense, and myrrh, whatever. Do you realize that they had purpose? There's a meaning behind the gifts that they gave. This might be your aha moment today, okay? So that's cool. You ready? Here we go. The gold was for the royalty of Christ because he was the king of kings. They knew that he was the Messiah. He was going to be the ruler of all. He was going to be the king of all kings. Like, this guy was going to end the whole thing with kings. So the gold was about the king. The frankincense was about the priesthood of Christ. Because frankincense is what they burned in the temple in their little thing that they, you know, the priest would go back and forth with as they're offering prayers, and it was an incense to make things smell good and smell nice, and it also represented the presence of the Holy Spirit. And then you had the myrrh, which was about the prophet, which was actually, you ready? It was actually a burial spice. So they were already preparing for Christ's burial as the Messiah and as the Savior of the world. These men came to give gifts. Let me tell you, the quickest way to find joy is to give. I'll never forget, junior in high school, got my first job. How many of you guys remember your first job? Okay, good. I was at Chick-fil-A in Georgia. It was my first job, and I'll never forget my first Christmas. I know my parents look back on this, and some of you are going to go, seriously, that's what you bought them for Christmas? Yes, this is what I bought them for Christmas, okay? We lived in Georgia, so, you know, I had to work the drive-through window, and drive-through window people, they go through it, okay? So next time you go through the drive-through, smile and say thank you. Even if it took 37 minutes at McDonald's to get your food. Remember, it's not the drive-through person's fault, okay? Smile and say thank you, okay? So we're working the drive-through window. Chick-fil-A decided, hey, we're going to give you guys sweatshirts that were white. Why white? I have no idea. But they were white in a restaurant. Not highly recommended, okay? And they said Chick-fil-A across the front. And so we all got one as part of our uniform. Well, then I said, guess what? Can I buy some? And they said, sure. I said, I need some extras because they're white. And they're like, great. What size is it? I was like, my dad needs an extra large. My mom needs a large. And my sister needs a small. They're like, yeah, but they're not for you. I know, but I'm going to buy them. And I'll never forget buying them and taking them home and putting them in a box that was so cool because I like wrapped the box inside of a box inside of a box inside of a box and then put rocks in it and then wrap that inside of a box. Was awesome. And the fact that I can remember all these details tells you how much joy it brought me to give gifts to my parents that they didn't buy. I bought those gifts for them. I think for me, that's when things began to change. When I had some financial freedom of my own, that was my money, and I took it and gave it away by buying a gift for them. And I'll never forget, they opened it. They thought they were the coolest things in the world. I'm sure they were just putting on a show at some point, okay? Because I'm sure they weren't that cool. But they thought it was awesome, and I was super excited. Like, I couldn't wait to give them their present. You know what? I still get that way. Ask Jennifer. I am not good with surprises. Like, I buy something, and I'm like, can I give it to you now? Like, do we have to wait for Christmas? And her response is, well, you can if you want to. And I'm like, no, but it'll ruin the surprise. But can I give it to you now? I'll give you a hint. And she's like, why not just give it to me? You know, but it's about giving. I want to read a passage to you in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 58, beginning with verse 6. This is Isaiah writing, and he says this. This is God speaking through Isaiah to his people. And he says, is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him, and to not hide yourself from your own flesh. Then, I love this, verse 8, then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. God says, listen, you want to experience joy? You want to experience healing in your life? You want to experience something other than the muck and the chaos and everything you're feeling? Give your life away. Serve somebody. Begin to be Jesus first, others second focused. Remember, that's what we do here at our church, right? Love God, love others. The wise men were about bringing Christ gifts. They presented their presents. They were ready to give. They were ready to give until it hurts. Sometimes it's not about just giving our money. It's about giving our time. It's about giving our talents. It's about giving away ourselves. Sometimes giving hurts, doesn't it? Listen, I got to tell you something that I regret to this day. I remember being in college, and I remember going to a college retreat, and we're all together, we're at some church, I don't remember where it was, and all these college students from across the state, and it's a big Christmas conference kind of thing, and so we're there, and they show this video of these homeless people that lived in this town where we were, and so they started asking the college students, hey, if you've got a jacket that you want to give, we're going to give some coats away, because it gets cold in Georgia, okay, not just like for the couple of hours in the morning, we're talking like for weeks, okay? And I remember God telling me very vividly, Ryan, I want you to give your jacket. And I'm like going, yeah, but I just got this coat. Like, literally, this is my first season with it. And he said, I know, but I want you to give it. I didn't give my jacket that year. What joy did I miss out on? Because I didn't give. Sometimes in life, when things get tough, we turn inward. Our perspective goes from looking out to looking in, to being protective, to circling the wagons, to becoming self-conscious, to becoming self-protective, to, man, we're going to build the walls and we're going to do what we can because life is chaotic right now and I just need it to kind of calm down. And so we do our best to take control when what we need to do is lose control a little bit more. It's in those moments that we need to give more and give until it hurts. Jesus first, others second. Lastly, the why. You. We always come last. It should always be Jesus, others, and then you. The wise men had that perspective. They are the last piece of the equation. If you read verse 12, the very last verse of this little story, it says this, and being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. They weren't even thinking of themselves in this instance. They didn't go back to Herod to say, hey, we found the house. Here's the address of the Messiah, the Christ child that you've been looking for. Here it is. We know you want to go worship him. They had a dream, and the dream told them, hey, don't go back to Herod because he's got some bad plans. Go away and go home another direction. And so they did. They took the long way back home. I don't know about you, but the long way back home sometimes isn't fun. It's not easy. But when our perspective is Jesus, others, and then you, it's funny how we find joy. last night was fun. It took a little bit of work, not a whole lot. But I got to tell you, when we begin to give of ourselves away at Christmas, it's amazing how the season turns from this dreary thing into something that we can enjoy, not just endure. It's time to be overjoyed in life, not to be overwhelmed. And so my prayer for you is that the perspective this season will be Jesus, others, and then you. Because that's how we experience joy. For us to be counted wise, to be overjoyed this season instead of overwhelmed, we need to gain this perspective. And it can begin today. It can begin with a simple smile. It can begin with a handshake or a hug. It could begin with an invite to lunch. Oh, you're not inviting me to lunch? Hey, I was throwing it out there. It's not a shameful plug, okay? If you just want to turn in your, you know, what you're having, your meal plans, just let me know. It could be about inviting somebody over. Listen, this week I had the opportunity to meet one of my neighbors down the street. Of course, it wasn't probably the best way that I would like to have met her, but met her with some of my mail in her hand because some people went through my mailbox and stole the calendars out that my grandmother sends us every year with $10 for each of us. $10 for my girls and a calendar for Abby and a calendar for Hannah and $10 there and a calendar for Jen and I with $10 each, 10 crisp dollar bills, just nice and amazing. And so these students decided they would run down my road and go into my mailbox and rip this stuff up, and my neighbor found them, and when she hollered at them, they took off running, and calendars all to the side, but Christmas cards in hand with cash. And I went down and I met her, and I got to listen to her story a little bit. Her name is Raquel Martinez. She's Puerto Rican. She taught in New York City for a while, and then ended up in Puerto Rico, teaching in Puerto Rico, and then somebody told her she needed to retire and move to Palatka. I don't know why y'all laugh at that. I mean, I could think of all the places to retire. I mean, like, Palatka's like number one up there, you know? I mean, like, and not just any place in Palatka, but the quiet street of Golf Drive, you know? I mean, it's nice and quiet there. Except for when your neighbors are, you know, chainsawing stuff down and then sanding things in their garage at 10:30 at night, and you're like, going, seriously? But I got to talk to her, and I looked at my wife, and I said, we're going to take some cookies and some stuff down to Miss Martinez. She lives by herself. Single lady, has no family here. You know what? One day, that might be me. Or one day, that might be my wife. Or it might be my daughters. My prayer is that somebody will welcome them into their home. We have a sweet little lady who lives next door to us, Miss Louise, who I love dearly. We're going to go and do something special for Miss Louise. It's not hard. That's what I'm trying to get at. It is not difficult to find something nice. Go and buy a thing of chocolate chip cookie dough at Walmart for $2.97. Bake some cookies, take it next door, and say, hey, I just wanted to bring you something. Merry Christmas. God loves you. And walk away. Doesn't require an hour and a half conversation. You're going, but Pastor Ryan, I'm not friendly with people. It's okay. Can you throw cookies in an oven? Take them to the fire station. Give them to the firemen who are there and say, hey, thank you for your service. When you see a police officer or a person in uniform, walk up and shake their hand and say, thank you for your service. Because listen, that Friday night, we called the police and filed a report because that's what we were told to do. The officer comes and he's standing outside and it was a little chilly. I said, come in. Would you like some coffee? Would you like some water? And he's like going, ah. He's like, people don't normally ask this. And I'm like, well, would you? He's like, no, I'm actually good. Awesome. Listen, it doesn't take much to be nice. Just a smile, just a handshake, and a simple thank you. And you're on your way. You begin starting with one act of kindness. And guess what? You have one moment of joy. And you string that together with another one, and you've got two moments of joy. And you string that together with another one, and you got three moments of joy. You're catching the math, right? Okay, here's what's amazing. Exponentially, it grows. Because I've done something nice for one person, they're probably going to go around and turn out and do something nice for somebody else. And now the chain that I have started spreads like wildfire. And before I know it, I don't have just one moment of joy. I've got a day of joy. I've got a season of joy. And I find that I'm out of the darkness and the chaos and the overwhelmingness of life, and I realize that I am overjoyed. My prayer is that this season you find some joy, that you find some peace, that you find some love. But ultimately, you find some Jesus. Would you pray with me this morning? I just want to give you the opportunity. Maybe this year you've come to church and you've been here for a while, or maybe this is your first time and you're just now hearing this idea that a God who created everything, who stepped out of heaven and left eternity and came down here and lived among us, loves you. And this morning, your heart might be racing a little bit more, and you feel like God's talking to you, saying, hey, I love you just the way you are. You don't have to clean yourself up. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to do anything, but simply let me love you. This morning, maybe you're realizing that for the first time. I want to give you the opportunity to just confess that to God and say, God, you know what? I need you. I've messed this life up pretty well on my own. God, I need you. I want your joy. I want your grace. I want your forgiveness. If that's you this morning, I just want to pray with you. If that's you and you're saying, you know what, Pastor Ryan, I need Jesus this morning. And so this morning for the first time, I'm going to say, God, I choose to follow you. If that's you, would you just put your hand up and put it right back down wherever it is you are? Awesome. Anybody else? God, you've seen these hands. Lord, I pray you would draw these children close to you. God, because that's who we are. We're all your kids. Some of us are just lost and we're coming home. So God, this morning, would you draw these children home to you? Maybe you're here and this season's a tough season for you. And you just say, Pastor Ryan, would you pray for me? I don't have to know the details. It's the beauty of this. If you want to share them, great. If you don't, that's okay. But you say, Pastor Ryan, would you just pray for me? I'm overwhelmed. I'm overworked. I'm overstressed. I'm just over it all. Would you pray for me? Would you just put your hand up and put it right back down? Awesome. Anybody else? I'm all over the place. My hand's right there with you. God, we need you this morning. We need you in a fresh and in a real way to step into the chaos that we call life. And God, we ask that you would move in a special way. God, would you replace the stress? Would you replace the worry? Would you replace the financial insecurity? Lord, would you replace the sadness and the sorrow? God, would you begin to fill us with your presence? And in that, God, give us your peace and your love. And then, God, when we're filled with that, Lord, it's going to be hard to contain it. It's going to be hard to not walk out without a smile. And it's going to be hard to not be nice to that person who sits across from us tomorrow at work, or who waits on our table, or who sits across from us at Christmas dinner that we might not necessarily like. Because, God, you're going to be in the middle of it all. Because, God, you are our first and foremost priority. Help us, God, to gain a perspective that is honoring to you, and that brings glory to your name alone. God, we love you and we thank you. We ask all of this in your name and for your glory's sake. Amen and amen. we're going to move into our time of offering. So if our ushers would come at this point, we're going to take up our offering. And we do that by passing an offering plate. Guests, this is not for you. If you're a partner with us here at Grace, this is an expectation that we as partners, we give. And guess what? It's not just about our money. It's about our time. And so those of you who helped serve last night, thank you for serving last night with us. But this is a time where you can take that card and you can fill that card out. This is where you want to take and drop it off. If the offering plate passes you and you don't have it all filled out, totally fine. Put it in one of the gray boxes here as you're walking out the door, and we'll collect those as well. But this is our time to give. So church, we thank you. We give for one reason, and one reason only, because God is amazing, and his message of love and peace is what we're all about. And so your giving helps us to continue to proclaim that to our community. So thank you guys for being a part of this. Ushers, go on forth. As they're doing that, a couple of quick announcements for you. I know that there's been some talk on Facebook. There's lots of talk on Facebook. Some of it is good, some of it not so good, okay? But there's been questions asked about Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Christmas Eve service will be here on Christmas Eve. That will be the 24th of December, for those of you who are curious. And it will be at 6 p.m. It usually lasts right about an hour. I would highly recommend that you get here maybe a little bit early, because it fills up quickly. Especially if you're bringing all of your family and you guys want to sit together, I'd make sure that you're here just a little early. We will put chairs out. We will make sure that we've got seats for you to be here. But that is Christmas Eve at 6 o'clock. We should wrap up by 7. It's an amazing night. We've got some special things in store for you that I'm not going to give away. We've got some special gifts to give that you're going to, I think, fall in love with and love. But then the next day will be Christmas Day, and that is a Sunday. Some people have asked, will we have church on Sunday? Yes, we will have church on Sunday. There will not be Sunday school, though, okay? So there will be no childcare either, okay? We're going to take Christmas Day, and we'll all be in here Christmas Day, and we'll be here at 10:30. Pastor Terry has promised that it won't be more than 45 minutes. We're going to come in and sing some Christmas carols together. We're going to love on each other, give some hugs and kisses. Hopefully you're wearing something new maybe that you can show off, because I remember that as a teenager, man, opening up the gifts. And so, dude, come in your best and have a great time and be here with us on Christmas Day celebrating Christ. And we will light the Christ candle on Christmas Eve, and we'll do it again on Christmas Day. And so it'll be a great time to celebrate. But that will be on Christmas Day. So remember, no Sunday school, no childcare service, just at 10:30 in here that morning, okay? The Advent booklets are out there. Youth ministry, students, just so that you guys know, and adults, we will not be having Wednesday night service the Wednesday between Christmas and New Year's. Okay, we will be taking that that day off. We'll also be, for students, taking off January the 4th, when the students are usually out of school. We can't usually do anything anyways. We might do something fun and stuff with students over the holidays. So students, if you're in town, make sure that you've joined our text group, because we'll send out messages. We might have a fun open gym day and come up here and just chill and hang out. So parents, while you're still working, we'll give a safe environment for your teenagers to come and chill and hang out and be here with us. Life groups tonight. We do have our Christmas party tonight with our life groups. Yes. Everybody will be together, okay? We're going to be in the gym at 5:30. Bring something to share as far as food-wise. 5:30, okay? That's, my wife is over there doing this. And so making sure that I get 5:30. Yes. Let me tell you how you get to life group. Everybody take a deep breath. Let it out. Okay, that means you're living, so you're a part of a group. So you're welcome to come and join us. It's going to be a great Christmas celebration tonight, just kind of getting together in fellowship. And I've heard through the grapevine that there will be games. Somebody came to me last night and said, "We have games." And I said, "What?" And they're like, "We're not telling." And I was like, "Oh, yay, this will be fun." So we're going to have some great holiday games and just some fellowship. So even if you're not involved in a life group, we'd love for you to come out and be with us. Come and fellowship tonight, 5:30 in the gym. Miss Denise. awesome. Thank you. That's a great way to give joy. Simple. Fill a brown paper bag. Okay? Ladies and gentlemen, we're trying to make it easier for you this Christmas to find the joy and to find what it means to actually celebrate Christmas. It's not that difficult. Last piece is we've got to plug our nursery and our children's ministry. We are in dire need of some fresh laps, some fresh arms, some fresh heartbeats to come and help us serve. We've been at this 2 years and 3 months now, and some of them have been working for 2 years and 6 months. You do the math, okay? It means that they've been working since the beginning and helping to care for our children. So we need some fresh help. And so I just want, if that's you, if you would come and see Stephanie's up here in the front. Miss Renee is back there in the back. I don't see Kristen. She might be in the actual nursery. Okay, come see one of these two ladies, please. If you would like to help, it's a real simple background check we just do on you. Not a credit check, nothing like that. Just making sure you're okay to work with kids. And it's really an easy way to give, okay? But please see one of these ladies if you're interested in that. Youth, we do have our progressive dinner on Wednesday, December the 21st. We're going to meet here about 4:30, and we'll head out to some homes and have some great meals and have a great time hanging out together, a middle school track and a high school track. If you would still adults like to help us with getting some food together, please come see me afterwards, and I'll make sure that I get your name down because we need some help providing some appetizers for our appetizer houses. I think we've got our main, Miss Kim, do we have our main taken care of? Miss Flato? We have the main taken care of, right? We're good? Awesome. Miss Flato's dad, there you are. I didn't see you sitting right back there. He's going to cook for us a main dish, which is amazing from what I understand. Beef stroganoff or something like that, that is like amazing. So we're thankful for that. But if you want to help us serve in that way or transport students, come up and let me know. We'd love to have you. If you would stand with me as we close our service out. Join me as we pray. God, we thank you so much for this beautiful day. Thank you for this time that we've been able to gather in your house and to sing songs about you and to worship you and to hear from your word. Lord, I pray that you would help us to walk out these doors different than when we came in. Lord, I pray that you would help us, God, to find you in the midst of the chaos and in the midst of the overwhelming and overstressed time period. God, help us to become a blessing and a joy to others. Lord, I love you. I thank you for our church. I thank you, God, that it is made up of a group of giving people. Yes, God, we are all broken. Yes, God, we are all messed up in some way. But God, each one of us gives. And I thank you for that. I thank you, God, that you've called us to give and your people here at Grace are rising to the occasion. God, would you expand our horizons? Would you expand our territory? God, would you help us to influence more people this week than what we did last week? God, to continually share your love and your grace and your mercy. For it's in your name we pray. And everyone said, amen.